You are now leaving the USA and entering Chaz, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter occupied zone in Seattle. I'll give you all the details. And guess what's making a comeback? That's right, national anthem kneeling. Plus, President Trump outlines his plan for community and police improvements while getting criticized by the Democrats. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. It's a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you've had a great week. If you're new to the show, thanks so much for tuning in. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to start with Chaz. And I hope I can get through this without busting up because liberal lunacy just cracks me up. And we've got it today. It's like the whole show is our relaxed brain segment. We're going to talk about Chaz, which is the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, this 5 or 6 block area created in Seattle because police abandoned their precinct and Antifa and Black Lives Matter rolled in. So for some background, what happened is police were engaging with rioters and protesters. They were getting pummeled with water bottles and bricks and more. And they were worried that the precinct was going to be overrun, that it was going to be burned, destroyed, or whatever. So rather than putting down the rioters, the protesters, they decided to abandon the building. They decided to just leave it. So they left it. And that area that was blocked off, they removed the barricades. And their thought was that the protesters would just now march on through to another area. Well, they didn't march on through. They marched in, and now they've stayed. They've put those barriers back up. And now there's a sign that says, "You are now leaving the USA. Welcome to Chaz." Here's her report.
On Monday, police boarded up a downtown precinct, and since then, hundreds of protesters, reportedly from Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and others, have moved into the area, declaring it the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or Chaz.
So it's unreal. These left-wing radicals have taken over a portion of the city. They are occupying it. It's fenced off. It's got barricades around it. You can't come and go unless you show them your papers. I'll get into some of that, but here's more of the report.
And the protesters appear to be turning against their own, storming City Hall, demanding the resignation of Mayor Jenny Durkan. Unusual since Durkan is a progressive who has long supported far-left issues. But this time the mayor is calling for police reform. The protesters want the police department abolished and won't budge.
Turning on their own. But wait, this is supposed to be a left-wing utopia, this commune, this communist love-in. There's no police, there's no laws, there's no rules. Food is shared. Everything is great. Well, not exactly. Here's a report from Hot Air. The denizens of this new experiment in police-free living were probably envisioning a utopia full of peace and community love. Instead, they got a new self-appointed police force led by a rapper named Raz Simone. On Wednesday, someone posted a video clip to Reddit which shows Simone and a group of people confronting a graffiti artist. Things escalate, and eventually the tagger is assaulted by someone in the group and has his phone taken away. Folks, this is too crazy to believe. So you've got these left-wingers. What is going on right now? Defund the police. That's what all these riots are about. Defund the police. The first thing that's established here is a rogue police force led by a rapper who's declaring himself the warlord. They're walking around with guns, enforcing law and order. It's just so insane when you got it against the defund the police movement. You've got checkpoints. People are getting checked. This is an abandoned area. The police department, the police precinct was abandoned, but people live and work in this area. They have to check in. They're being stopped and frisked for firearms. This is exactly the policy that was in New York that was deemed to be racist, even though it did cut down on crime. They're doing it there. Then there's the food. They invited some homeless folks in. The homeless folks stole their food. Now this group's out of food. And here's a post from a Chaz resident there, living there. The account is now protected, but here's the tweet. Alerta number 2. The homeless people we invited took away all the food at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. We need more food to keep the area operational. Please, if possible, bring vegan meat substitutes, fruits, oats, soy products, etc. Anything to help us eat. Anything to help us eat, except actual real food. And then there's the shakedowns.
We have heard anecdotally reports of citizens and businesses being asked to pay a fee to operate within this area. This is the crime of extortion.
So how could all this happen? The police chief said this was not her call. She put out a video to her officers saying it was not her call to abandon the precinct. And here's that report. Addressing the takeover of the area surrounding the Seattle Police Department's abandoned East Precinct building, Chief Carmen Best said in a video addressed to her officers Thursday, major chaos had been averted, but also that she was angry about how the situation unfolded. The decision to board up the precinct, our home, the first precinct I worked in, was something I had been holding off. You should know, leaving the precinct was not my decision. We'll see how this all works out, folks, but the timing is perfect. With all these folks out of a job, I wonder if some of them even had a job. They have nothing better to do. They're just going to sit. There's teach-ins. There's love-ins. It's all good over there. They're breaking the law. They're occupying the city. And we'll see how long it lasts. It's just such a crack up that these lefties, the lefty leaders, don't know what to do with these folks. What are they going to do? It's absolutely amazing. But now you've got a police force. You've got stop and frisk. You've got extortion going on, all in this left-wing utopia. Senator Ted Cruz went on Twitter. He posted this, which kind of sums it up.
Proven we don't need corporations. We don't need money. This can become a commune where everyone just helps each other.
Yeah, we'll have one guy who makes bread, and one guy who looks out for other people's safety.
You mean like a baker and a cop?
No, can't you imagine a place where people live together and, provide services for each other in exchange for their services?
Yeah, it's called a town.
You kids just haven't been to college yet. But just you wait. This thing is about to get huge!
Wow. Peace and love during the day, warlords and shakedowns by night. In this left-wing city, the left-wing leaders are just letting it happen. It's absolutely amazing, and it'll be interesting to watch. All right, so next we're going to move on to national anthem kneeling. But first, if you love the show, folks, if you're new to the show, please subscribe and please hit that bell so you'll be notified. We're making our push for 100,000 subscribers by Election Day. 100K by Election Day, and we can do it with your help. So now we're going to talk about national anthem kneeling because we saw what happened in the NFL. They started doing it. People rebelled. People boycotted. Well, guess what? It's back because of this whole defund the police, because of this one incident and all these riots. Now, corporation after corporation are just bowing down to the Black Lives Matter movement, which is all built on a lie, which I can get into, but they're doing it. So I'm going to start first with NASCAR. Now, as you know, I'm an IndyCar guy, but NASCAR just announced that it was banning Confederate flag at their races, not them having it as part of their logo or corporate identity, but just fans bringing the flag in. They put out a press release banning that, saying that fans couldn't do that anymore. But what was not included in their press release was another policy change involving the national anthem. And here's a report from racer.com. NASCAR has also eliminated a guideline for competitors relating to conduct for the national anthem. Handed out before each driver crew chief meeting, the directive stated, when the flag is displayed, all persons should face and stand at attention with their right hand over their heart. Persons should remove their headdress with their right hand and hold it at their left shoulder, hand being over the heart. When the flag is not displayed, all present should face toward the music and act in the same manner they would if the flag were displayed. That guideline was eliminated before the Atlanta race, giving way for competitors to protest peacefully during opening ceremonies should they choose. On Sunday, NASCAR official Kirk Price, a U.S. Army veteran, knelt and raised his fist during the invocation. So that's NASCAR. And of course, the NFL is now probably going to be the biggest cheerleaders for national anthem kneeling. And here's a report from the Oregonian. The NFL's attitude toward the ongoing protests of police brutality and racial injustice has seen a tectonic change in the past month. Commissioner Roger Goodell issued a statement saying the league was wrong for not listening to players fighting for racial equality, marking a dramatic change for the NFL. NFL players have been at the forefront of the current protests during the offseason, and they plan to kneel en masse during the national anthem during regular season games, according to the report. So you can add U.S. soccer, women's soccer, to that list as well. In 2007, following the kneelings of Megan Rapinoe, they decided in a February 2007 meeting to require all players to stand. Guess what? This week, this past Wednesday, they changed that policy. National anthem kneeling there too. So, folks, this is so outrageous. And here's my mini monologue for today, because these corporations are caving to Black Lives Matter when Black Lives Matter does not care about Black lives. It is absolutely outrageous. The whole movement, if you recall, was based on Michael Brown and Ferguson. Remember, hands up, don't shoot? That was all based on a lie. Michael Brown had robbed a store. He was high on drugs. He confronted a police officer, hitting him, assaulting him, trying to steal his gun when he was shot. Autopsy, other physical evidence shows that his hands were not up. It was all based on a lie. That's how this whole movement started. And now we have this case. We have the stats. We've gone over it before. Police contact with civilians, police interaction, police encounters happened 375 million times a year. 375 million. Of those last year, only 9 incidents happened where an unarmed Black man was killed by a police officer. It happened 19 times to unarmed white people. Yet, this is the craze. This is what's the epidemic. It statistically rarely ever happens. You know what happens a lot? Blacks getting killed. That is an epidemic. And if you look at it, that is worth fighting for. We should fight for that. But none of these Black leaders actually address the problems. Black Lives Matter doesn't address the problems. Just this past weekend, you had 92 people shot in Chicago. 27 of them died, folks. This happens every week in every major city. Inner cities, Blacks are killing Blacks. And if you have a community where 75% of the children grow up with no father, there's a problem. When you have 6% of the population committing 53% of the murders, that's a problem. It's not police killing Blacks, it's Blacks killing Blacks. We need to do something about that. We need to have an organization that actually cares about improving the Black community and not blaming others for it. Because no police were involved when Blacks are shooting and killing Blacks. We need to solve that. We need to change that. And I'll be on board with that organization. I'll go volunteer because that's important to me. Improving these minority communities gives people hope. And when people get hope, get educated, find the facts, they become conservatives. They break out from these chains that the Democrats keep them in. They keep these communities poor because with poorness, there's control. And that's what the Democrats, that's what the left are all about. So next, I want to get to President Trump and his policies that he outlined yesterday to address some of these problems. But first, folks, you have to tune in tomorrow. I'm so excited. We've got our Saturday live stream. Last time we had Dinesh D'Souza as our special guest. This time we have Brandon Tatum. And I am so excited to talk to this guy. He is a former football player, standout, Tucson police officer, including the SWAT detail. He knows the ropes in the police. He got together with Candace Owens. They formed Blexit, which is all designed for Blacks to leave the Democrats and adopt policies, learn policies that will actually help their community. We're going to talk about George Floyd. We're going to talk about what it's like being a police officer. We're going to talk about the racial tensions, what can be done about it. You name it. We're going to talk about it. Please tune in. And as we had with Dinesh D'Souza, we had great video questions. Please use the Ask BE link in the description. Send in your video questions. They can make it on tomorrow's show. So that's it. We're going to talk about President Trump now because he held a town hall gathering in Texas. He outlined 4 points. More details are coming to address what he called police brutality and racial injustice. And here's that report. Trump made the announcement at a roundtable in Texas saying his plan would include pursuing economic development in minority communities, confronting racial disparities in healthcare, signing an executive order to establish better training for the nation's police, and urging Congress to enact school choice nationwide. Trump made the announcement flanked by top administration officials, including Attorney General Barr. All right, I'm looking forward to the details because I tell you what, I'm all for school choice. Again, give folks a chance to get a better education. They will make better choices down the line. Improving the police force, we could always do that. We should always be striving to do that. Investing in minority communities, we need to see some results in the more minority communities that these places can stay safe. Look at all the businesses that were burned to the ground. Look at our show last Wednesday when we saw that businesses in Minneapolis, some in Chicago, won't be coming back. And why should they? Why would you want to dedicate all that time, all those resources to building a business, something you put your heart and soul into, only to see the officials, the police, everyone just pull back and let it be destroyed? Let all your stuff be stolen or your whole business burnt to the ground. So we've got to have improvements in the community before we can have people invest in the community and trust that it'll be okay. It's just outrageous. So we'll see how that goes. And finally, folks, it's Friday. It wouldn't be a Friday without asking all these Democrats, all these left-wing loonies, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
All right, first, we've got to give it up for Chaz. We got to give it up for Chaz again, because again, this is so hilarious. We want to end the police. They establish police. Stop and frisk is racist. We're going to have stop and frisk. It's just so hilarious what's going on there that they definitely make it into relaxed brain. Next, I want to talk about the Democrats and how their hypocrisy knows no limits. Well, so now those Democrats that were cheering George Floyd protests are coming out and blasting President Trump for wanting to start his rallies again. Here is a tweet from Democrat in Florida, Val Demings. I joined a Healing and Hope rally last night to speak with our community as America grieves. All right, so that was June 8th. Then just yesterday, June 11th, she tweets this. Unfortunately, Florida is experiencing a new surge in COVID-19 cases. I urge you to do everything you can to protect yourself and your neighbors. Wear a mask, limit gatherings. And then on top of that, she tweeted, the president's plan to hold mass rallies in Florida and elsewhere as we experience a resurgence in COVID cases is irresponsible and selfish. Are you kidding me? Where was that when people were going out in mass protesting, knowing that there was no social distancing, knowing a lot weren't wearing masks? They did it anyway. These people didn't care. Then there's Bernie Sanders, who tweeted this. Congratulations to all who are out on the streets today peacefully protesting. Together we will end police brutality. Together we will defeat Trump. Together we will fight for a government based on justice and compassion, not greed and lies. That was June 6th. Then yesterday, June 11th, he tweets this. Trump wants 15,000 delegates cheering him at his GOP convention in Florida. No social distancing. His rejection of medical advice endangers not only those there, but those they come in contact with. Trump's a threat to the health and well-being of our country. He must be defeated. So that's a threat to the health, but all these mass protests are perfectly fine. Those aren't going to endanger anybody. Those aren't going to spread coronavirus. Give me a break, folks. And the relaxed brain, it goes on and on and on. There's just so many, but we're out of time. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. I'll see you next time. Tune in tomorrow for the Saturday live stream with Brandon Tatum. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.